Good morning, everyone. How are you today? Man, it's beautiful out. Y'all should be screaming, jumping up and down. Okay. All right. We'll make do of it. Let's see. How about we start with our handout, which is entitled Thy Word. I got it up there, too. So let's stand as we sing, please. Pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the beautiful day, Lord, you give us. Thank you, Lord, for getting us here today, for our church doors being open. Thank you for this great nation we live in, Lord. Thank you for the many freedoms that we enjoy. Praising you, Lord, for those that went before us and bought some of those freedoms with their blood, Lord. We thank you for our military today, Lord. Wherever they are today, I'd ask you to be with them, guide and direct there. Help them, Lord, that may we be able to see them soon back home. Thank you for our church, Lord, that we're still preaching your truth here. Lord, Brother Daryl's come today to fill in for John and Kim as they've been away. Just guide and direct him, Lord. Use him today. Whatever message you put in his heart today, Lord, I pray that it would speak to someone here today, that they might get right, Lord, before they leave the building today. Bless this time to come, Lord. Just help us to remember just a little bit of fellowship with each other while we're here. Thank you, Lord, for this time. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
Thank you, God, for America, for your healing.
Let's see. We got the national anthem. Is that what we're going to do here? I think it's just got the anthem there. Is that? Sorry, folks. Didn't look into this. 779, the Star Spangled Banner. Probably better stand for that one, folks. Wait a minute. We got 601 here, do we not? I looked at the wrong number. I'm sorry. 601, but you can stand, though. 601, please. How from my foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your feet in his excellent word. What more can he say than to you he has said? To you for refuge to Jesus have fled. Fear not, I am with thee, oh, be not dismayed, for I am thy God, and will still give thee aid. I'll strengthen thee, cause thee to stand, upheld by my righteous, omnipotent hand. Pathway shall lie, my grace all sufficient shall be thy supply. The flame shall not hurt thee, I only desire thy dross to consume and thy gold to refine. His foes, that soul, though all hell should endeavor to shame, I'll never forsake. Thank you. You may be seated. Let's see. This afternoon, after our morning service, we've got a brief choir practice. Don't forget that for those involved. Our evening service tonight, we've got our book studies. We're going to go over there. That starts at 6 o'clock. Let's see. The 10th, Sunday morning, we have communion scheduled there. Tuesday, July 12th, we have personal evangelism going on. Tuesday the 5th, women's Bible study at 6 o'clock in the evening. Thursday, July 7th, Wilton Bible study at 6 in the evening. And Saturday, July 9th, men's Bible study at 9 o'clock in the morning down at the Drake Park down here. They're going to meet outside. Let's see. Pastor Sought for the Week. On this July 4th, remember the Christian citizenship, G.K. Politumah, politics, is in heaven. We are called as ambassadors to the foreign lands of this world. Let's do our best to represent Christ to our nation and our world. Thanks. So guys, you come forward now. We'll take up the morning offering. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, again for this great nation, Lord, that we have. Tomorrow, if you tarry, Lord, we're anticipating a time of celebration and fellowship with each other, Lord, as we remember what you gave to us, Lord, and what you did for us, and especially those that fought and died for our nation. Thank you for it, Lord. We know it's many problems, and I pray again, Lord, that our leaders might turn to you. Lord, now we're going to take up an offering. Ask you be with the gift and the giver. Lord, we know we can't outgive you, but we can make a small dent, Lord. So be with us now, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's see, page 421, please, 421. Ladies going to sing for us.
I'm so glad to be called.
Ladies, Brother Darrell.
It's great to be with you this morning. Great to be back in Fruitland. And thank you, ladies. Oh, that was wonderful, beautiful song. And glad to be an American today. It's not easy, always, but praise God for America. All right. Let's just bow for prayer one more time before we look at God's Word this morning. Father, again, we just thank you for the freedoms that we do have. Father, though there's many days we feel like some of them are being stripped away, Father, help us to keep our perspective and our focus on Lord Jesus Christ and you and your plan and be listening to you and your Word. I just pray that we might seek to be true followers of yours day by day. And so this morning, I just pray that you would open our hearts, open our minds. Father, there's so much deceit and false messages from the world today and from the evil one. So we need your discernment. And I just ask that you give it to us today. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right, I'd like to begin this morning with some good news. God has a wonderful plan for your life. Amen? Amen. But I've got to share some bad news as well. And the bad news is Satan hates you, and he has a destructive plan for your life. Have you ever been deceived? In other words, have you been taken by somebody that you thought really cared about you? And then come to find out they really didn't. Or have you bought something that you thought would really be great and it was going to be a wonderful asset in your life, only to find out it wasn't worth it? Today, there is a lie that is permeating our world. And it can be found in our culture's view of sexuality, psychology, education, entertainment, politics, and sadly, even the teachings of some churches today. Deception and lies are nothing new. They're in Satan's toolbox, and he's going to do everything he can in his power to destroy or defeat us. But in contrast, we truly have a God that wants the best for us. And so God clearly exposes Satan's intentions in his word. We've got to be men and women of the word. Again, there are so many lies that culture has taught us. And sadly, many lack the discernment to recognize those lies. And they're so unaware and they believe these lies. And these lies can even lead to their damnation and they don't realize it. So I ask you to turn with me this morning to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5, and we're going to begin with verse 18. 1 John 5, 18, and it says this: "We know that anyone born of God does not continue in sin. The one who is born of God keeps him safe, and the evil one cannot harm him. We know that we are children of God, and that the whole world is under the control of the evil one. We know also that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding so that we may know Him who is true. And we are in Him who is true, even in His Son, Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life. All right. Did you notice what it said at the end of verse 19? What's the last half of that verse? The whole world is under the control of the evil one. So this morning, I want to simply ask four questions to help us understand how it is that in 2022, Satan is using our culture. And so the first question I want to ask is this: what is the lie? And the lie is selfish, self-worship. In America, it is our religion. This lie is prevalent in political power in a real unique way, in that it claims just worship me and we'll all get along fine. That's what we're hearing. And mankind has justified this self-worship in philosophy and psychology, justified it in politics. And this lie has empowered people to express a lot of lies. And I want to be very specific this morning and share some with you. And as I share them, I'm wondering, have any of you bought any of these lies? I pray not. But let's look at them. The first lie is the Bible is old, out of date, and thus you can't trust the Bible. Folks, that's a lie. God's word is as current and up to date and relevant. It's today as it was when it was written. Second lie: you can't believe both science and the Bible. True science is effective. We need true science. Not the perverted science that sometimes we're sold. But science doesn't really conflict the Bible if it's true science. Thirdly, you can be what you want to be, and that trumps biology, anatomy, and common sense. That's a lie. And that's everywhere. That is everywhere. So the next lie shows how that is manifested in our culture. Our culture wants us to believe that your gender is fluid and may change, and you can say, I'm a boy at home, but at school I identify as a girl, or I'm a man having a baby. Some people may think that's funny, but I read an article not too long ago where in a nursing program they were teaching the nurses how to deliver a baby from a man. That's the world in which we're living. And we're being lied to. And I look at our precious kids these days, and unfortunately they're being so confused by the messages that they are hearing from so many areas, even in school, on their phones, in their digital, whatever they're doing. And it's tragic. Here's another lie. Since I make the determination of good from evil, even though other people are racist or bigoted, I am innocent. That's a lie. How about this one? It's my right to say that others don't have worthy opinions. They only have phobias, homophobia, xenophobia, Islamophobia, but I am free from phobias like these. Don't tell me what I should believe. Poor, our culture's shouting that one out loud. We're all being labeled if we don't just conform to them. All right. Here's another one. Sex outside of marriage is okay and even expected. That's certainly not a new lie. I remember many years ago I was given the privilege of teaching a class at our local high school just down the road. And it was a marriage class, and I taught a segment on commitment. And this idea was pervasive. They couldn't believe why my late wife and I didn't live together before marriage. That was just expected to them. Homosexuality is good and normal. It's a lie. God addresses that. Why do we have those conditions today? Romans 1 tells us, because they neither thank God nor gave him the glory, he gave them over to these sinful desires. Scripture is very clear. There's consequences. Here's another one. There are no absolutes. Secularism, everyone does what's right in their own eyes. Again, that's nothing new. Go back to the book of Judges. Didn't they learn that? Israel experienced that. And there were consequences. Here's another one. This one's very relevant. Abortion is a good way to manage an irresponsible sex life. That's a lie. I wouldn't be able to have any fun if I gave my heart to God. God's law is too hard to obey and too restrictive. I tell you, I thank God every day for the grace of God. The love of God. And it's not too hard to follow a loving God if you truly do it with all your heart. And here's one final one I'm sharing. There's many more, but I'm just sharing some of them with you this morning. Preachers can perform miracles by thinking right thoughts. This New Age theology is sometimes taught in Christian schools as spiritual formation or self-actualization. Listen, these lies are all given to tell you that it's you, not God, who determines who you are and what you can and cannot do. So your thoughts are higher than the realities around you, and as a result, these lies undergird every sexual deviation man can imagine and drives us into a sick, depraved future. Some folks have labeled this the apocalypse in that we have exalted self and rejected God. Let's ask a second question. When did this deception or this lie begin? It began in the Garden of Eden. It began at creation when Satan, appearing as a serpent, deceived Adam and Eve with a false promise, the very first lie. Look at it with me, Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. Genesis 3, verses 1 through 5. It says, "Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, 'Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?' The woman said to the serpent, 'We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat fruit from the tree that's in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will surely die.' 'You will not surely die,' the serpent said to the woman, 'for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.'" When I read that, I can't help but ask myself a question. Didn't Eve question a talking snake? I mean, she talked with Adam, but a talking snake? She should have questioned him. So Satan says, "You'll be like God, knowing good and evil." And when Adam and Eve sinned, the search for godhood started, and God was soon replaced by man, and self-worship grew throughout history, and is absolutely prevalent in our Western culture today. Self-worship. The Apostle Paul reminds us in 2 Corinthians 4:4, God says this, "The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers, and so they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God." Satan's blinded. He's even blinded some Christians today. If they don't know the Word of God, it's easy for them to be caught up in those lies. So if you are a true believer in Jesus Christ this morning, and I pray that you are, you should be able to discern the difference between the lies and the truth. And to do that, You need to know God's Word. You need to be in the Word of God. Our third question. Why is this deception or this lie of Satan so appealing? Well, we have the idea that it will meet our needs and feed our egos. And this is the greatest temptation all of us face, and it's the most prized possession of our culture today. I think about when Paul was in prison. He had a specific message for the Colossians. And I want you to turn with me to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. So in Colossians chapter 2, look at verses 6 through 8. Colossians 2, 6 through 8. It says, "So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the basic principles of this world, rather than on Christ." See what Paul's concern was? Paul was deeply concerned about the deceptive teachings of the false prophets that served to steer them away from God's truth and from their faith. His desire, Paul's desire for them was for their faith to grow and abound in Christ and to have nothing to do with these persuasive arguments. We can't be listening to the messages of this world today. We need to be feeding on the Word. A number of years ago, Ken Ham wrote a book simply entitled The Lie. And on the front cover is the serpent. And he addresses the heart of the issue when he says this: "The reason that people don't want to accept biblical creation is that it means that there's a creator who sets the rules, thus no person can write his own rules." Think about that. Mankind wants to write their own rules. In our culture, people don't want to submit to God. They want what they want. And they, following the teachings of Sigmund Freud, who taught that we shouldn't suppress our sexual urges, but then when they mesh them with the politics of Karl Marx and the psychological, it becomes the political cause to celebrate self, and self becomes their idol. They want to be God. They want to determine their own lives. So this is a culture that our children and grandchildren are growing up in. Does that concern you? Our precious children and grandchildren are being taught a godless view of origins. That is, that our world is a result of a Big Bang. That's the widely accepted view of what supposedly happened. And they're being told that that happened millions and millions of years ago. A while back, you had a creation conference here. When were things created? 6,000 plus years ago, right in that area. The problem is that what our children and grandchildren are being taught is that these things, their view of science, and they're being taught that it's a fact. And it's not. The problem to me is, why aren't the students asking a question? And the question is really simple. Where did all this stuff come from that supposedly blew up? Think about it. You see, accepting evolution requires an enormous amount of faith in a mathematician or a scientist, and you don't even know who he is. So here's a warning this morning. Our children Our grandchildren are guaranteed to break our hearts if they don't have a Christian worldview. Do you hear me? I hear it all the time. I've talked to countless grandparents who will say, or parents who will say, my kids grew up in church with me. Now they want nothing to do with God. That's heartbreaking. Recently, I was working for a funeral home, talking to a father who was about to bury his 35-year-old son. The father said, my son came to church with me here. I don't even know where he's at today. By his lifestyle, I have no idea that he trusted Christ. Broken-hearted dad. That's where we're at today. So we've got to look at our fourth question. And that is, how can we counteract the lie and communicate truth? Well, it all begins with, we've got to know God's truth. So we can live it and share it. George Barna has done a ton of research in so many different areas. And over the last 40 years, one of the things he's discovered is that what a person believes when he or she is when they're 13, that's what they will die with. What's that tell you? We need to reach our children when they're young. We do. We need to convey God's truth to children when they're young. I believe the last time I was here, I shared with you one of the things that I'm very concerned with. And that is sometimes as a church, we fail, even the children that come to church, when we teach them Bible stories. Those aren't simply Bible stories. Those are true life-changing experiences. So a poor child hears that these are stories and they go off to school, and in junior high they're being taught, well, creation is just a story. Evolution is fact because it's science. Do you see what happens? The kids then question, well, what am I going to believe? A fanciful story, or am I going to believe a fact? So they choose what they're told is a fact, which is really a lie. We've got to do a better job. We do. We do. What happened on 9/11? You remember. 19 young men believed that they were doing the will of God. At least they were the will of God as they were taught all their lives. You've got to kill the infidels. And you all know what happened on 9/11. They were very serious about what they believed. There are consequences to our actions. And the problem is that many of God's children don't know what God wants us to know because we're not studying God's Word. Recently, I had the privilege of sitting on an ordination council for a young man. And this young man is facing a future of serving God as a U.S. Navy chaplain. And for him to be ordained, he needed to have a good understanding of scriptures and biblical theology. There's about 11 other pastors that were there with me, and we asked him questions for hours. Questions based on scripture. Questions based on biblical theology. And again, he demonstrated that understanding because he spent a lot of time studying God's Word. I'm looking forward to him being a Navy chaplain. Praise God. So you say, well, Pastor Erickson, I'm not a a pastor. I don't aspire to be one. I'm not a chaplain. I don't aspire to be one. I'm just wondering this morning, how much time do you spend in the Word? Sadly, many of God's children are illiterate today, scripturally illiterate. We can't be. Maybe the only time you use your Bible is in Sunday school or church worship service. So the question we've got to address is this. Will we buy the lie of our world and culture and Satan, or will we reject and expose it? Well, Paul warned us that there would be times like this. Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Look at verse 3. 2 Timothy 4, 3, it says, "For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths." Recognize that day? It's here. It's here. You know, many people today have adopted a belief system based on human passions, the human heart with its ungodly desires. And so as a result, people in our culture think that God doesn't challenge our lifestyles. And in their minds, he, she, it approves of everything we do, whoever they're following. But once again, Paul has another warning. With all the messages from technology and political polarization and human anger and racist accusations and false teaching, it's easy for us to think of ourselves more highly than we ought. Romans 12:3. And so rather than thinking of ourselves more highly, God has a powerful message for us. Once again, through the Apostle Paul, and this is back in Colossians, you can make note of it. Colossians 2:13-14, it says this. "When you were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses, by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with his legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross." Praise God. So what can we do? I want to share with you this morning several things to do. In fact, five of them. But the first is this. We've got to focus on God's truth, not man's ideas. Secondly, we need to adopt a biblical worldview and communicate it to our children and our grandchildren. You say, "Well, Pastor Erickson, I'm not sure what a biblical worldview is." Well, let me read you a definition right from this book. It's simply called A Biblical Worldview. Here's the definition. Biblical worldview is a set of beliefs, assumptions, or values based on the Bible that determines how a person lives. The goal of worldview training is to shape beliefs with the Bible to equip the young person to apply God's truth to life for the good of others and the glory of God. A complete biblical worldview is the gospel. A Christian worldview is based on the Bible's truth. A biblical worldview is developed by teaching young people the whole counsel of the Word of God and living as a Christ-like example worthy of imitation. It's not an abstract academic discipline that's concerned with winning arguments or proving intellect. Biblical worldview is a way to summarize the life-changing truths of Scripture with a laser focus on the gospel. Biblical worldview. We've got to have it, folks. Jeff Keaton, he started what's called Renew a Nation. Oh, I missed one thing here I want to emphasize. Do you understand that of the 78 million millennials today, only 4% have a biblical worldview? 4% of 78 million millennials today. Okay. Let's get back to Jeff Keaton. He shares six reasons for a Christian worldview. The first reason is this: our children belong to God. Now, don't misunderstand me here. I'm not saying that all of our children are a child of God unless they put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, right? Okay? What we're talking about is each child is a gift from God. Okay? Psalm 127:3, child is a heritage from the Lord. Second, Jeff Keaton says, we want them to grow up to bless our hearts and not break them. Isn't that what we want? Again, there's scriptures. Did I have these scriptures in your notes? I don't remember. Okay. Proverbs 23:24 and 19:13. If it's not there, you can note that. Thirdly, we want them to experience the joy and satisfaction that comes from being in harmony with God's law and design. That's Psalm 119:1 and Isaiah 48:18 and 19. Then, fourthly, we want them to carry the Christian faith to the generations to come. Judges 2:6-10. Oh, folks, that's such a heartbreaking passage, and I believe I shared it with you back in maybe December. But here's reality. Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Got into the book of Judges, what happened? Judges chapter 2, you find these families, and what's happening is that the first Joshua knew God personally, personal relationship. The next generation, they knew of God, they'd heard his miracles, and they've seen what God had done, but they didn't have that walk with God. And then you get to the third generation, and it says they didn't even know him anymore. That's what's happened. It's tragic. Number five, letter E, we want to spend all eternity with our children and grandchildren. That's Mark 8:36. Again, there's too many parents today who are playing Russian roulette with their children and grandchildren. We can't do that. And folks, I'm not telling you something that I'm not committed to myself. Because I've made a commitment when I'm spending time with my grandsons, I'm taking an opportunity to share with them who my God is and what he's doing. Or he's done something in my life lately. I'm sharing that with him. Or I'm sharing a gospel truth where lives were changed. Okay, we've got to do that. And then remember, when you win the heart and mind of one child, they can change the world. Never underestimate the power of one. So let's get back to a third thing we need to do. We need to resist any self-centered thoughts and replace them with what Paul expresses. Once again, in Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9, it says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received from me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. That's what we need. We don't need to buy into Satan's lies. We must not buy into Satan's lies today. And fourthly, allow God to remind you that you are not God and he is God. Galatians 2:20, I've been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And finally, when our life is over, the only thing that matters is our belief in the living and true God. 1 John chapter 5, let's close with these verses. 1 John chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. And this is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out his commands. This is love for God, to obey his commands, and his commands are not burdensome. For everyone born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Look at this. Only he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Are you an overcomer this morning? Are you? We're going to pray and then we're going to sing a song. And I just pray that as you sing this song this morning, that it truly reflects your heart. And that you desire that God changes your heart and really gives you a passion to know God's Word more. A passion to really share Him with your children and grandchildren. We've got to redeem the time, folks. We can't be wasting the time spinning our wheels. Ask God to change your heart this morning. Let's pray first. Father, again, we just thank you for today. Thank you for your precious word. Thank you for your Son going to the cross to pay the price for our sin. Oh, what grace. We don't deserve that. Thank you for your love. Father, I pray for each one here. If there's somebody here that doesn't know Christ today, Father, I just pray that they would turn to Christ. Accept Him into their heart and life. And experience that glorious change that only He can bring. And Father, for those that are here this morning and profess to know the Savior, I pray that You would help give them the discernment to not buy into these lies of our culture and lies that come from the evil one. Help us to stand up for the truth and boldly declare Your truth, lovingly declare Your truth. Father, do that work in us that only You can do. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let's all stand and sing this song. Change my heart, O God, yet ever true. Change my heart, O God, may I be like You. You are the potter, I am the clay. What I pray. Change my heart, O God, make it ever true. Change my heart, O God, may I be like You. Let's be dismissed in prayer this morning, but if there's anybody here that doesn't know Jesus, please seek me out. I'd love to share with you how you can become a child of God and have that faith, that assurance. If something were to happen to you, you know where you're spending eternity. Don't be afraid to do that. It's the most important decision anyone could ever make. Let's pray. Father, again, I just thank You. I thank You for Your truth. Father, we're living in difficult times, and there are so many mixed messages that Satan is using to try to confuse us and to destroy us. But Father, we know that You truly love us, and You want what's best for us. And that comes from listening to You, being in Your Word and following You day by day. Father, help us to do that. And grow closer to You. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.